Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Dr. Psych Mom Show. Today, we're going to talk about why it's normal that your wife is stressed, why almost everybody that is a woman with children and a job, or even children and not a job, feels stressed, and what to do about it. And I will revisit the Yerkes-Dodson law that you may have learned earlier at some portion of your academic career. Before that, please do subscribe. My most recent subscriber episode was on love languages are not based on research is a dumb thing to say and why, although I don't think I put dumb in the headline, and what it means about you or your spouse if you or they are somebody who says shit like that. What does that mean about your personality? Nothing good. All right. So moving on. So in the secret Facebook group, which you guys should definitely join, $4.99 a month, blue subscribe button on my Facebook page, you know, and the reason, by the way, it's called the secret group is because nobody can see what you post except for the other people in the group, and a paywall really wards off trolls. But anyway, people were talking about, you know, whether it's normal or not for like a woman to feel like every day is kind of, she's in survival mode. And then I made a little video about when does that start being something that you should worry about versus being the norm. So let me explain to you, and maybe this is new for a lot of you, not new for some of you. There's something called the Yerkes-Dodson law, and you should Google that and look at the little graph because I cannot do a graph with my voice. But either way, there's an optimal level of stress that actually makes you perform better. Stress helps you until a point. So it's like, you know, my favorite graph of the normal distribution. It looks like that. So your stress level actually, it helps you perform better until you get to an optimal point that's at the very peak of the bell curve. And then increasing amounts of stress beyond that make your performance level drop. So that's fairly intuitive, correct? If you are just laying around in like a food coma watching Netflix, then if you were asked a work question right then, you would probably do bad at it. You would probably not be, you know, Johnny on the spot with that because you're basically understimulated, just laying there like kind of a dead person, you know, tired and blah, and then you're not going to perform maximally. However, or if something, so for example, how does that manifest in other ways? What about the boring parts of your job? Do you do those as well? No, because you're understimulated. So think about it like this. You're trying to play chutes and ladders with your kid. That's fucking boring, right? I mean, this is really not an intellectually stimulating game, and it's boring as shit. It's cute that your kid likes to play it, but, you know, you really can't get there, you know, emotionally or intellectually to make it fun unless, you know, you are a saint. So you usually need to make it a little bit more interesting. So, for example, if your spouse was playing and you guys were kind of joking around, then it could be more interesting. It's like kind of like your brain wakes up. This is, by the way, the reason that ADHD meds work, stimulants. So the ADHD brain is chronically understimulated, and you can listen to me talk about ADHD in depth on one of my many podcasts related to ADHD or being married to somebody with ADHD, having ADHD, etc. You could put ADHD as the Spotify search term in the app, the top of the podcast. But anywho, what the stimulant does, such as Adderall or Ritalin, it stimulates your brain so that your brain basically isn't asleep. Your brain is awake, even when you're doing something boring, when it usually would be asleep. So an anxious brain is chronically overstimulated. So therefore, somebody with anxiety, they are going to need less stress to get to the top of their maximal performance. And then there's the normal person that's to the right. And then to the far right of how much stress you need to perform maximally is going to be the brain with ADHD. Now, a lot of ADHD men are married to anxious women. So the amount of stress that those two people need to perform maximally is very different. So that woman who's like a very anxious, sensitive woman may in fact be anxious playing chutes and ladders instead of bored. She may be like, oh my God, am I doing it right? Like, is my child enjoying themselves? Am I being a good mother? You know, like, I hope that they're enjoying it. And then really that can help her stay awake to play the damn game. Whereas her husband with ADHD may be about to die. He may be having to like look at his phone every 3 seconds in order to literally stay awake during the game, especially if it's played in the afternoon. So there are very different ways that the Yerkes-Dodson law manifests given your innate level of anxiety or ADHD or just how much of a sensation seeker you are, etc. So the average woman, so then you think, all right, how does this relate to our main topic, right? So the average woman is more sensitive than the average man. She needs some stress to function, but not as much as maybe a man might need to stay awake. So like, for example, you know, if I said to one of my male clients, hey, you know, what's your assignment? It's to find a 5K this weekend. Yeah, this weekend, the one that happens in 2 days, and you got to do it. Many of my male clients, no matter how depressed they were, they'd be like, oh, that's a good idea. I'll do that. I'm going to do that right now. They like start Googling it. They would do the 5K. Does it matter if they didn't run this year? No. How about a decade? Probably still wouldn't matter. Oh, that sounds exciting. If I were to say that to my female clients, and I have said, you know, similar sorts of things over the years until, you know, you realize that people don't respond the same, they would be like, oh, no. Oh, no, I can't. I haven't trained. I haven't trained to do that. How could I do that? I can't do that. Also, it's going to rain this weekend. And you know what? I can't get up that early because I'm actually have to stay out the previous night for an event. So I can't do it. Just no. Out of anxiety, right? So the man thinks that it's a stressor. It's obviously like a stressor to the system to be given a new task that would be physically onerous, even slightly. And even if you control for the level of fitness, right? The man is more likely to do it. By the way, testosterone makes you feel less stressed. This is like a thing. And when women go on testosterone frequently, they feel less stressed because they feel more confident. And it's a confidence thing. It's really is. And I have a post that says something about, does your testosterone prevent you from empathizing with your wife? Because it reduces anxiety, truly. It makes you more aggressive because your anxiety is down. Your inhibitions are down. And that happens in the bedroom as well. And it happens out of the bedroom. And if it makes you too aggressive, there's a problem, et cetera, et cetera. So the point being, though, that these people, the man and the woman, are at different levels of stress. So the woman needs enough stress that she can actually get through the day and perform and like almost be interested in her own life because there's some level of it's called eustress, E-U-S-T-R-E-S-S, eustress, positive stress. So when a woman says she's so stressed out, often she doesn't sound that stressed out. It's almost like saying, like, I got a lot of shit going on, you know, and like that amount of shit almost keeps me performing. Now, men need like way different types of stuff to be interested, stuff that would really probably stress out the woman quite a bit, such as having to run a 5K with no training and no preparation and no planning. So a man can understand stressed out, but they need so much more stress to get stressed out. So then they think that like they have two possibilities of what they think that are not right. The first one is she should get rid of all stress. But as I just taught you, then she would perform minimally. If you get rid of all of her stress, then it's like my post, when you take everything off your wife's plate, but she's still unhappy. Right? Because if you make her basically like a domesticated pet and you take away everything that could possibly stress her and you get in house care and cleaning and this, that, the other, then a lot of men say, or you take that stuff over yourself or whatever you do, you take over, let's say, all the parenting, all of everything, you know, and then she just lays around. Well, of course she lays around. You took away all of her stimulation. It's like taking away, you know, Anything that could keep her interested. It's like that story, the yellow wallpaper, that classic, story from, I think, 1900 or something. The point where basically it was the age of Victorian bed rest prescriptions. So if a woman was upset in any way or didn't feel good, they had her lay down and look at nothing and not even read, because reading would be too overstimulating. So eventually she looks at the yellow wallpaper in her room enough, the protagonist, that she goes crazy. And, you know, that anybody can understand how that would happen. And so if you try to take enough stuff off of your wife's plate because she's so stressed out all the time, then you have basically removed her ability to perform, because she doesn't have the optimal level of stress that she needs. And the second thing that men do is they basically condescend to it, and they look at her from the other direction and they say, "That's what stresses you out? Man, are you incompetent or what? I could do 7 times what you do during the day." Yeah, no shit. You could hopefully also bench press 7 times what she bench presses, but who cares? You know, like, you're not the same person. For her, she's stressed out doing X, Y, and Z. And for you, you're stressed out doing A, B, and C, and D, and E. So fuck it. You know, you're different. Welcome to your life. You know, you're different. And so what they do is they condescend to her for saying that she's stressed out. Now, listen to your wife's voice when she says she's stressed out, and actually look at her actions. Men are so big on actions speak louder than words, except they all come in. They tell me, "Oh, here, I wrote down exactly what my wife says, and this is what the reality is." I'm like, no, that's just some shit your wife said. Let's, like, actually look at the reality of your life, right? Like, instead of taking her word as though it's delivered, you know, by God to Moses. Like, please. So the point being that your wife, if she's like, "Oh, my God, I'm so stressed out. I got this to do, I got that to do, and then before we go to the event, I got to go get my hair done, and then also I have to make sure to call my sister, and then on top of that, I got to send a birthday present, and of course, I got to, of course, do all of my work, and you know what else is coming up is Little League is starting." So the two types of men, one of them would say, "Don't worry about it, I'm going to do that, I'm going to, in fact, get my beautician license, I'm going to do your hair, we could do that while you just watch TV, while I also order all the gifts off of Amazon, and I will myself do all of your work," right? That, and of course, I'm being funny, hopefully, but and nobody actually is doing that, but it goes in that vein with men who are over-functioners and who are preoccupied attachment. Or there's the other kind of guy that's like, "You think that that's stressful? Do you know what I did today? Do you know that I saved a life today? Do you know that in my practice as a doctor, I saved 2 lives today? And that's the stuff that stresses you out?" And that guy's an asshole, right? So that guy tends more toward the narcissistic frame, and he's more avoidant attachment. And then we are working on, she's probably the preoccupied attachment partner there. So the point being is, so then you say, "All right, well, what am I supposed to say?" You're supposed to say, "Wow, that's a lot of stuff. That's great that you can get all that stuff done. That's awesome. Well, your sister's really going to like that present. And tell me if there's any way that I can help." That's it. You don't make your voice sorrowful. You don't make your voice condescending. You just, like, literally shoot the shit with your wife like she's a human being that's just talking to you, like, in the universe. You know, like, if you were talking to a coworker and the coworker is like, "Oh, I got so much to do. You know, the boss just gave me another project." You wouldn't be like, "Quick, give it to me. I'll do it for you." No, you'd be like, "Oh, my God, that asshole." That's what you would say. "Oh, he's an asshole. Why'd he give you another project for? You just did a project," right? You would say something like that. That would be a normal way to respond, and you're not taking anything off their plate. You're literally just empathizing, commiserating, and you might say, if it's a close, you know, person to you at work, you might say, "Let me know if you need some help with it. I have some extra time this week." All right, that's pretty normal, right? Okay, you could say that to your wife too. "Let me know if you need any help." But what you don't want to do is to make, like, any time that she says she's stressed out as a 5-alarm fire, and it means you have to do something, or not to believe her and to condescend to her that it shouldn't make her stressed out. Because those are both inappropriate and not nice responses, not very healthy responses. Now, when does it get to be too much? When do you know that your wife, well, you got to remember the Yerkes-Dodson law, right? What I taught you. When she starts going down on the other end of the bell curve, on the right side of the bell curve, her performance starts to decrease with added stress. And if this appeals to you, if you're a visual person, Google Yerkes-Dodson law. The spelling is in the description of this episode. So when is she not doing well anymore? Because if she struggles with generalized anxiety, then she worries so much about ever saying no to anything, and everything seems like a missed opportunity, and she's going to be a bad mother or a bad friend or a bad sister, that she takes on way, 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 way too much, and her performance goes down. As long as your wife is still being productive. And now you may need to talk to your own therapist about what being productive looks like, because she's not going to be curing cancer while she also does CrossFit, while she also teaches your kid to speak Latin. That if that's where your goal is, because you're some self-made CEO man, refer to my CEO podcast, and your standards are way high in the sky, then you would need to get a reality check on what it looks like for an average person to be productive, you know? And so if she is productive by a normative standard, then you have to understand that her stress level is optimal for her, and she is, in fact, just sharing the narration of her life as she likes to do, as women like to do to bond, because they're more verbal. And she, by her saying, "I'm so stressed, I have so much on my plate," just means empathize with me and tell me I'm doing a good job. Now, if she is literally crying, screaming, if she has to retreat into the bedroom for multiple breaks, if she in fact is not doing well anymore at work, if she's the sort of person that does get fired from jobs or just decides that they are toxic and leaves repeatedly, if she does not actually show up to family events or is unable to schedule things for your children to do, even though she said that she had to do it or that she committed to it, if the children seem scared of her because her moods are so up and down, then we're dealing with anxiety or depression, probably. Maybe something else, maybe OCD, maybe OCPD, who knows? But the point is, it's not good. So in this case, you have to say, you are always stressed out, in fact, and it's really affecting us as a family. I feel terrible. I don't know what to do. So we need to get into couples counseling so I can understand how to support you better. This is assuming that you say, "I think you should get into counseling," and she says, "No, fuck you. This is just how I'm supposed to be," right? So, of course, the very, very first thing to say is, "You're struggling a lot. Maybe you should talk to somebody. Maybe you should talk to a therapist, because it seems like you're very unhappy a lot." So then if she says, "No way, no, you don't understand people, whatever, you're such an asshole," right? Then you say, "Well, what we do need is to go to couples counseling, because I need to learn how to better support you. Maybe it's my problem. Maybe I'm not doing as much as I need to do." Then she will go. Most of the time she will go to that. And of course, if she doesn't have two podcasts on what to say to get your wife to go to couples counseling, they both have the word convince in them, so you should be good to go to search for them. But if she does want to remain married, then she will go to couples counseling if you make that a very, very direct demand and you relate it to weaknesses of your own, which are either that you're too obsessed with her, if you're preoccupied and you try to take away too much stuff and make her feel useless, or that you condescend to her. So either one of those two men that you were, if you think that you're the one, that you're neither of those two men and that you're perfect, then say you need to go into couples counseling to work on that you think you're perfect, because you're not perfect. And she will like to do that, because that is actually something that will appeal to her, as you finally acknowledging that you act like you're perfect. So anyway, I hope this was useful and instructive. There is an optimal level of stress that is necessary. Women are more verbal about their feelings at all times. So therefore, when your wife does this supposedly, ostensibly irrational thing of being quote unquote stressed out all the time, but then actually doing stuff, that's just her being productive. That is kind of a normative state, as long as she is being productive. And you can also tell by how the children look at her. Do the children think mommy gets things done, or do they think of mommy as somebody to protect or somebody to fear? Now, a little protection is good. Sure, have them be nice to mommy. Certainly don't like be an asshole to mommy. I just talked about that in the previous podcast about how kids, how to help your kids be nicer to mommy, etc. But do the children look to her when they come home and they have a problem, when they have something, do they go over to her? Do they think of her as somebody who could do stuff? If so, then she's probably being productive, you know? And of course, the other thing is your marriage entirely loveless or sexless? Because that has nothing to do with her being stressed out. Just like my podcast about chronic pain. There's all kinds of people with chronic pain that still have a romantic and even sexual life. So if she says she's too stressed out to have sex with you, then you have an even bigger reason to go to couples counseling, because that is not normal. Sure, for a couple of days, maybe even a couple of weeks, somebody's going through some stuff. But if it is like you have not had sex since last year because she's so stressed out all the time, that is not normal. And don't listen to that as the reason, because that may mean anxiety or depression, or it may mean that there's something very wrong with the marriage, or both. All right. I hope you guys enjoyed this, and I'll talk to y'all soon. Bye-bye.